Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Ear to the Ground E2G Sports Podcast. This is the Friday, November 20th, 2020 edition. So 20s are wild on this day, Friday in the year 2020, and this year cannot get over quick enough for me. I say that with each and every podcast that I do, hoping it'll just kind of end quickly. But it's not. We're taking it through. We're trudging through. Hopefully everyone's staying healthy, staying safe, and doing the right thing. Buddy Andrade has been hijacked. Actually, not hijacked. I have him locked in the closet there. If you hear a little bang in the back when he's trying to get out, it's double padlock. He's a big guy. He's got a steamroller, and he's not going to get in. So I am Johnny Sunchips, and I'm going to bring in my special guest, co-host, and former colleague from my sports radio days in Providence, Rhode Island, Mr. John Crow. John, how you doing today, babe?
Not too bad, Chips. It has been a very long time coming, but yes, let the reunion begin.
Yes, reunited, and it feels so good. Anyway,
so
man, good to have
you. Or home?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Which one are we each? That's a topic for a whole other discussion, isn't it? We'll digress.
Absolutely.
Anyway, this is the E2G Sports Podcast. John Crow, Johnny Sunchips here. We're going to have Jarvis Green on in a couple of minutes. I called him last minute, texted him, because a little quarterback situation brewing in New Orleans with Drew Brees being out for an extended period of time. Jameis Winston came in last week in relief. Didn't fare so well, and according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, that Taysom Hill is looking like he's going to be at least a starter when the game starts, but we'll discuss more with Jarvis Green, who's buried down there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He is the owner and CEO of Ocean97.com, and he'll tell us about some lovely culinary treats for your holiday season. Anyway, other topics on the table. Obviously, we have football to talk about with the Patriots, because if you believe some of the talk up here, we're already Super Bowl contenders again, and we'll digress into that as well. We'll talk Boston Celtics, the draft, where they stand, what they need, are they doing the right thing? I have a little take on Danny Ainge, a little take on Brad Stevens, as John Crow does. But, JC, let's start it off with football, and we see Jarvis pop up, and actually he's on the line right now. So without further ado, I am going to bring in – here I'm waiting for it. Pop up, baby, pop up, pop up. Here he is. Da, 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 dead air is good in podcast. Jarvis Green is with us. Jarvis is the CEO of Ocean 97, owner of Ocean97.com, shrimp pate. But Jarvis, John Crow, John Ahern up here in Massachusetts, Rhode Island area. How you doing, Beth?
I'm doing good, guys. How's it going this Friday, midday Friday for y'all?
It's going well, man. Can't complain, but thanks for the short notice. I called you. Obviously, we love to talk football with you, and we'll talk to see the shrimp pate in a minute. But I want to ask you about something. According to NFL Network, looks like Taysom Hill's going to get the start in place of Jameis Winston in New Orleans against Atlanta this Sunday. Your thoughts on that? Thoughts on the offense, how it fits in? Is it an indictment on Jameis Winston? Is it Taysom Hill fitting into a different system? Are they changing direction there, knowing that Drew Brees may not be a part of this team for the near future, Jarvis?
My opinion is definitely an indictment, just a situation. I know they paid Taysom Hill some huge money for a two-year deal, about $21 million. We know the type of guy he is, an all-around player, special teams guy, a decoy guy. But, you know, I thought Jameson was going to get his shot to play and start the game and kind of the same type of situation with Teddy Bridgewater, a year ago. And I don't know. I mean, hopefully it's a great decision, but we're all going to find out exactly – if Taysom Hill, if he got the mustard.
Hey, Jarvis, is this really boiled down to just ball security and Sean Payton not trusting Jameis?
I really don't know. I mean, I read up on it. I didn't really keep up with what was going on until Johnny, you told me some stuff, so I went and Googled it, and I'm just kind of surprised that he's the starting quarterback this week. For the big game.
Jarvis Green is with us from Ocean97.com, former Patriots lineman, multiple Super Bowl winner here in New England. Jarvis, obviously Peyton at one point compared Taysom Hill to Steve Young. Now, obviously, and they paid him signed him to a 2-year, $18 million contract in the offseason. Is this a chance of a case of him knowing what he has in Jameis Winston because he knows what he is as a player, and we're not really sure as far as a quarterback passer that Taysom Hill is, obviously in certain situations, but can to see if he can manage a whole game and maybe have Jameis on call if he needs him?
I mean, comparing Taysom Hill to, Steve Young. Steve Young is a pretty goddamn good quarterback. And I think at the same time, Saints Nation, the coaching staff, everybody really want to see what Taysom Hill could do for four quarters. So I think it's a great decision because they did invest the money into Taysom Hill. So you got to put the guy on the field, see what kind of product he's going to give back, and to see if it's worth the shot.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jarvis. And, you know, they put a lot of money, a lot of faith in Taysom Hill with, you know, $60 million guaranteed over this last contract. And they have to see what's going forward. And in that vein, do you see the Saints changing what they had on offense or more Kamara, more Thomas, and staying tried and true?
I think they're going to stick to their guns for what got them that far. I mean, they got a lot of guys, the names you just mentioned, all those guys are paid very well. So I think to put all those guys on the field at one time just to see how they gel is going to be very important. It's going to be a test. And I think if Taysom Hill does his job, they have a great game. I think he could play a very well game. But, you know, in the past, again, like you said, he was more like a decoy guy. But the thing is, too, people knew when he went in the game, they knew he was going to receive the ball. And he still made plays. But let's see how he does when he got to get that snap every single snap and make a decision on run or pass, and let's see what he does. That's all we can do right now.
Jarvis Green is with us, former Patriots defensive lineman, Ocean97.com. Jarvis, I want to switch gears to the Patriots because you and I and Buddy talked on Tuesday, and it was just the fallout of the game and so forth, and so we talked, broke down the game and talked about their, at least in my opinion, the New England Patriots' most complete game all season long. Is it smoke and mirrors? Can this team turn a corner? Because I still think we need to see more from Newton as a passer to them to be more successful and to be a legitimate playoff contender. Having said that, they're feeling good about themselves. Real good game plan. Belichick has not forgotten how to coach, like a lot of people said, and that they're going into a team against Houston that they should on paper beat. Your question on is this something they can build on week by week because they seem to be getting back down to the basics when you were first a part of this team in New England?
I think they could do it week by week. I know that's the way Belichick's mindset is and also just the team itself. I mean, they had the four losses in a row. I mean, that was devastating when they went through it. But just to see the way they played last week in jail, this is a big test. I mean, every week is a big test, but I'm not saying but I'm praying that Cam Newton, you know, he got his head together mentally. They're focused, the team as a whole. And they got to go out there and win, man, because right now, I mean, it's Thanksgiving coming up, and they still have a shot to make the playoffs. So the season is not over with at all. They just have to play better, stay consistent. And they got to make the plays, man. That's the name of the game, make the big plays. Not dropping balls. You got to get third down. You got to move on fourth and one, move the chains. You got to get interceptions. You got to make tackles. You got to make sacks. You got to get big gains, big catches. So that's the name of the game right now. We hope Cam Newton can pull this out and go two in a row.
Now, Jarvis, we've seen the floor with Newton after he tested positive for COVID. We saw him, you know, digress a little bit. What is the ceiling, realistically, this season for Cam Newton?
I think right now he's at the point he's mentally challenged because he's there in New England and he's pretty much filling the void, like people may say, for the famous Tom Brady, the 20-year run, the Patriots dynasty. So right now, not just him mentally, he could be however – he could think of whatever he thinks right now, but we know as a human being, he's thinking heavily on what he has in front of him, who's the coach, Coach Belichick, and the things that he has to do to perform. But I know he's really thinking also about just every game counts for him for that next big deal. So he has to show up. He has to. He has no choice.
Jarvis Green is with us. Jarvis, you mentioned the fact that he's thinking a lot about it. He's a veteran now. He's been around several years. We know that. I mean, he's in the system. We're going on to week 10. I mean, actually the 10th game of the season for this team. Is it a point where you say instincts take over? I mean, is it a point where you don't think anymore as a player, as a quarterback? You just know your job and do it. And if you're thinking at week 11, is that a red flag in your opinion?
Yeah, for a quarterback, that's a red flag because everything about a quarterback is about repetitiveness, repeat, redo, redo, repeat, redo, over and over again. So right now, if he's thinking too much, it will become an issue. He's a hell of a player. He's an MVP guy. He took a team to the Super Bowl. He's the same guy in the shell. Now, I know he likes to dress up and take pictures of himself and get his nice outfits ready before the game and lay them out on the bed. But Cam Newton knows he has to freaking win. That's the most important thing he has to do right now is win.
No question, Jarvis. On the other side of the ball, great effort containing Lamar Jackson in the monsoon Sunday night. Got to get your take. What do you think of Winovich and Uche?
I mean, the guy's played exceptional, man, against that guy. I mean, I'm watching him play, Lamar Jackson. It was like the time when we were supposed to prepare for Michael Vick, but we didn't play against him. It was Matt Schaub who put up 400-plus yards on us. But the way the team stopped him, the way they contained him and stopped the run, that showed a lot in the defense and the confidence that the guys have on the Patriots side of the ball. And, I mean, that was a big win for the team for the season. I mean, Baltimore, they're not a joke. They're not a pushover. They're a hell of a team. So the way they play should have helped their confidence getting ready for this next week game.
Jarvis Green is with us. And Jarvis, you know, you talk about the defense and the team as a whole, and you lived through that with the mantra. It's three simple words, do your job. And that's what they did. To me, it looked like that. And we talked about it Tuesday. That Tuesday, if you control the lines of scrimmage, you're going to have more success than you will failures. And they just went out and did the job, stayed true to what they did. And tell us what you mean from an athlete's standpoint. You lived it. I mean, it's ingrained in the New England Patriot way just to go out there, simply do your job, don't make mistakes, don't beat yourselves. And that was the first game all year they hadn't done that. And tell people who don't realize how important that is just to go out and simplify the game, if you will.
I'm going to tell you this, man. That is important, what you just said. I remember when I was a young player, Belichick always talked about having amnesia. That was the biggest thing, man, because you go from play to play. You might play, you know, a course of 55 to 70 snaps, you know, in a defensive game. And if you go and make a mistake, you have to really, like, not think about it because you always got the next play. So if you do make a mistake, forget about it, throw it away, it's done, move on, fix it, you know, fix it in a game film. So these guys have to do that every single play. You got 11 guys on the ball. You know, they're getting off the ball. They're making plays. They're making mistakes. You have to have amnesia right now. This is the time to have that.
Right.
How important, coming off Brady's leadership for the past 20 years, is the fact you have guys like Cam speaking the praises of Belichick year one with him playing with Belichick? How big is that for the rest of the locker room to kind of stay focused during their, you know, they had the 4-game losing streak, but moving forward now, to kind of turn this around?
I mean, the focus is very important. You know, I mean, everybody right now, if they're sitting in the locker room, I know Belichick pretty much gave his 10 cents in a quarter, you know, on force, what they have to do, what they got to focus on not making mistakes, making big plays. Like we talked last week about those guys who won Super Bowl championships in their room, are they biting their fingernails right now? They probably are. Or they're a little like more focused on what they have to do. I hope they are. And they know they're human beings, but they know how to win, man. That team know how to win from top to the bottom. So it's the same people in the locker room. They just have to focus on doing things more efficiently. And right now, this is the week to prove that. Also, like we said earlier, with Cam Newton, everybody just working together as one team.
Jarvis Green is with us. And Jarvis, you know, we just talked about Lamar Jackson, but I want to go on the Pats defensive side of the ball and J.C. Jackson, who seems to be really stepping up in the absence of Gilmore. And that's a whole other story with Gilmore being out, and it looks like he's going to be a scratch again this week. But J.C. Jackson seems to have the demeanor, and just by his play, he'll make a mistake, he'll trip, but he'll seem to come back and really respond well. And you can't see inside the helmet, but his makeup seems to be what the doctor ordered for this defensive secondary to make up for some of the loss of Gilmore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been playing very well. I mean, that's the biggest thing, too, man, just stepping up, man. Cause I know a lot of times you have guys, you have the key players that get off an injury or whatever it may be. But those guys playing backup, they just have as much as an important role as the starters, man. So, like Coach always used to say, and look, I'm always using these different quotes from Coach Belichick. I mean, a lot of things he say, it mimics, and everything he says is so true. He always say, the more you could do, the more you could do. As a young player, as a backup player, staying alert, watching the guys in front of you, because you never know when the next person is going to go down. So for them to go in there and have the opportunity to make these plays, it's priceless for the defense.
Speaking of Gilmore, guys, we have some news on him in that he's going to meet with the media today in about an hour from now at 1:40. So could be telling that maybe he is good to go Sunday because he is going to meet with the media. And Jarvis, I got to ask you, what do you think is going on with Gilmore? Is this truly all injury or is it a little bit to do with contract?
I mean, did they just give him a raise of $5.5 million to put him at $15.5 million for the year?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, guys. I mean, you know how the secondary guys are so different, man. They're very peculiar, and they're different than a lot of the other guys across the field. I mean, if you go across the league and talking about cornerbacks, making a lot of noise when contract season comes up, guys holding out, they're just a different breed of animal. I mean, they're still on their island. They're out there, and they know what they could do. They know they're worth to the team. So for Gilmore, I really don't know what's going on with him right now. He could be injured. It could be his contract. He could want more money. I have no idea.
And speaking of Gilmore, obviously staying on the topic with Jarvis Green, former Patriots defensive lineman, if there is a problem with the contract and this seems to be gelling a little bit better with him out there, is his on-the-field presence with his attitude maybe or lack thereof a positive attitude? And I'm just speculating here. Could that be a detriment on the field of play, or is it a testament to the team to kind of put it behind us because we need this guy on the field no matter what because he's that talented?
I mean, it's 50-50, man, because if you got somebody on the field that's nagging and aggravating and upset, but again, you still have to show who he is because individually he got to go out there and make plays. And as us, you know, being athletes, we don't want to go out there and embarrass ourselves. But I know right now we got to put everything to the side. Individually, it's football. That's the name of the game. It's a team sport. One person cannot win a game. I don't care who you are. One person cannot win a football game. It takes a team. So whatever situation Gilmore is dealing with right now, mentally, physically, whatever it is, you can put it to the side, get on the field, so the team can be successful.
Jarvis, big picture. Who do you have more faith in, the Bills or the Dolphins?
Wait. Ask that question again.
Who do you have more faith in winning the AFC East, if not the Patriots, the Bills or the Dolphins?
The Bills. Look, I watched that Seattle Seahawks game. Seahawks are pretty damn good. And I watched that quarterback for the Bills and the way they played overall. And, I mean, I watched the game here and there, but watching the highlights, Buffalo does not look scared. They look determined. And I think this is the year to win the AFC East.
Jarvis Green is with us, Ocean97.com CEO and owner. A couple more questions, Jarvis. Again, thank you for the time. Listen, Lamar Jackson last week, Deshaun Jackson this week, or Deshaun Watson this week, I'm sorry. Could that be just what the doctor ordered as far as schematically going from, I'm not going to say the same quarterback, but very reminiscent in styles, because it seems to me on paper they stopped Lamar Jackson this weekend. I mean, they're going to win the game. Deshaun Watson, I'm sorry.
Yeah. If they stop Deshaun Watson this week and after getting, you know, leaving Lamar Jackson, this is, I mean, back-to-back, this is going to be huge for the team, a confidence builder for the team to show that they're still capable of winning and playing great defense. I mean, that's two good AFC teams. You got Romeo Crennel coming in. Like we talked about last week, he knows Bill Belichick. He knows their mindset. So it's going to be very detrimental just to see these guys, to see how they played Deshaun Watson. Because, again, they're not the same quarterback. It's two different quarterbacks, but both of those guys are very exceptional in what they do.
Jarvis, how important is it the week after week of seeing that same type of quarterback help the defense. We talked with, they faced Russell Wilson earlier, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson this week. They're going to have to face Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert. Can move around a little bit. How important is it that you get to see that, and especially every day in practice with Cam?
It's very important, man, because, again, guys, I know when I played, we didn't have a lot of running quarterbacks. Michael Vick was the man. He was really the biggest game in town. But you just named like three or four quarterbacks that know how to run, like a pass, get the ball downfield. But week to week, it really helps those guys to get more game film and more game film, because when you get to the playoffs, you're going to see a lot of running quarterbacks in the playoffs. When you see some strong contenders that are going to make the playoffs. So these guys got to stay prepared. They got to stay on their toes. They got to stay up to date on the film and just know the keys, because that's the biggest thing when you play these type of quarterbacks. Smart and gifted quarterbacks who can run and throw. It's all about tendencies and just learning and understanding the alerts and the keys.
Jarvis Green is with us. Jarvis, you know, you talk about two teams. I watched the game last night between Arizona and Seattle. Seattle is, to me, finally showed up on defense and with a little bit of respectability, because they were porous and on historical trends for all the right reasons. Kyler Murray, by the way, this is a team they're going to play, so I know the coaches are watching that. I don't know if you saw it. It looks like he's got a dinged up throwing shoulder, and that's good. And to me, that kind of, you know, you talk about little dominoes falling in the way of the Patriots. I think they play him in a couple of weeks. And if Kyler Murray is injured and if he has an injured shoulder and it's anything serious, I mean, they're going to pump him out there. That changes the whole dynamic, not only with that game, but with that whole NFC West division.
Yeah, it does, man. I mean, he's not a one-man show, but the stuff he does and capabilities of running the ball and moving around down the field and his vision. So I think his banged-up shoulder is going to probably help. I think if the man should get to him and affect him mentally, because, you know, he had that little banged-up shoulder, I think it's going to help. But again, man, it's the NFL, man. It's week by week, any game, any given Sunday. So the guys, you have to perform and play and be ready.
Jarvis, you're a big food guy. I got to ask you, with Thanksgiving coming up and everything, we're dealing with COVID and restrictions and everything, and, you know, everything is down and everything. How do we get our spirits back up with the food for Thanksgiving this year in particular?
You know what? I posted something the other day. I saw some governors said no Thanksgiving celebrations. I was like, you know, go to hell with that shit, man. You want to have Thanksgiving dinner at your house? Nobody can tell you how to be a family. I don't care who you. I don't care who it is. Just be safe. You know, if you want to get all the alcohol sanitizer that you can get, you know, 6 feet. Come on, guys, that's not going to work for Thanksgiving, man. We got a long table, but we're going to be shoulder to shoulder, giving grace, eating some turkey, some ham. You know, some cornbread dressing. So really, you gotta just live at some point, man. You just have to, because right now this is crazy. What's going on with the country, the COVID-19 thing? Yes, people are dying. I lost four family members from COVID-19 as well. So I understand the hardship and the heartaches, you know. But at the same time, we gotta be a family, man. It's Thanksgiving.
First of all, Jarvis, I'm sorry for your loss. My condolences. Second of all, you led me right into it, man. This is a year like no other. Things are changing. Things are different. You know, you talk about Thanksgiving, social distancing, the whatnot. You can go on and on. But there's a one way. Hey, what better way to, with the year of change that we've been in, to put something that you distribute online at ocean97.com and a shrimp pate? Because I'm going to get some for my family, if not for Thanksgiving, during the holiday season. Something different this day and age. Tell them what they can do, put at the table with your product and where they can get it from.
Well, with the shrimp pate, again, it's on Amazon, Ocean's 97. It's something new, unique, innovative. It's pretty easy, man. You can put it on the table. You can mix it with cream cheese. You can mix it with avocado. And a lot of times we got tradition, but you can stuff if you got some fish. If you got even like a seafood dressing, cornbread dressing, you want some of that shrimp in there, you can mix it in. You can put it in your mac and cheese. I've done that many times.
Nice.
You got so many different things you can do to it. Even like a baked potato. You got like the double big mashed potatoes. I put it on top of my mashed potatoes with the cheese. There's so many different things you can do with that shrimp pate.
That is great stuff. I am like so hungry right now.
Yeah, me too. Awesome. Hey, Jarvis, Jarvis, before we go, listen, I thank you for your time, but you said your niece had a baby. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, she had a baby this morning at 4 o'clock.
Ah, congratulations. Beautiful.
Yes,
Jarvis,
sir.
Listen.
Thank you.
You bet, man. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for your time. We'll schedule something next week with the holiday. But listen, man, take care of yourself. Be well. Be safe to you and yours, and safe travels to and fro.
Same here. Same here, y'all. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jarvis.
Thank you.
That's the one and only Jarvis Keene, who's very good to our show. And he's a good guy, Crow. I don't know if you know his background, but, you know, we talked about the blue-collar work ethic, and we've had him on since we started this podcast. He's one of those guys who just soaks in the information, just gets it. A hard worker, man. Jarvis Keene is a great guy, and he's a regular here on the E2G Sports Podcast, so we always thank Jarvis. But let's stay with football,
There's
shall
no
we?
There's no question, too.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I've got to talk about Jarvis, and, you know, we've known him back. I've known him as back as far as my newspaper days, you know, back at the score. And I remember, I was telling you before the show, the time that I saw Jarvis in person, I was working in television at CW, and I was interviewing for a new venture he was just starting. And we were outside. It was a nice summer day outside the Omni in Providence. And you're right. The dude's just an entrepreneur, and he just gets really good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. And, we talked about it. He's a guy who's been college coached by Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and had all those years of success. Great, great, great guy there. So, but let's stay with the Patriots, shall we? Because you know the scuttlebutt here. I mean, this is my steadfast opinion on this team all along. You can put the path obviously talk radio. We're talking about the path to success, the path to a playoff berth, and they're there. But John Crow, I cannot see this team, because I think there just is not a lot of talent on this team, being, and obviously the quarterback notwithstanding, I can't see this team making the playoffs, because I just can't see them sustaining an amount of continued success the way they had last week and even the week before against the Jets. Your opinion on that?
I tend to agree with you, and you're right. The talent's not there. I mean, where are the guys in the skill position? I mean, tight end, wide receiver. You have nobody up front to stop anybody on the running game or defensive line. Last week, not with Spin, withstanding, because they did a great job against Baltimore. But here's the thing. Now that they're getting a little bit healthier, now that they're actually practicing on a weekly basis, they can actually come to a point where the coaching staff makes a difference. And I think you're starting to see that with last week's game against Baltimore, where they're a little bit more into week-to-week game planning. They can use their offensive line, which is the best thing they got going outside of the secondary. They can run the ball, and they can take opportunities away from Cam Newton, where he has to take deep shots, where he's not so comfortable doing it these days. So, yeah, I think it's 50-50. One, because I think the Patriots will probably get to 8 wins somewhere along the way. Maybe still one along the way to get to 9. But let's be honest. Do you really have faith in the Browns and the Raiders to keep winning?
That's the whole
other side of this.
You're right. You're right. And if they do get to 9 wins, they're going to need some help. It's not like the 4-5 Vikings, who are just like a one game and really no one over them in the NFC for a playoff berth. It's different with the teams that are 6-3, but you just don't know, John. I mean, and then again, it's week to week, and that's why we love football, because matchups are matchups, and what happens usually, more cases than not, previous weeks don't usually roll into the coming. But here's one thing about the Patriots that I've always admired about them: you can game plan against them, but with the talent on both sides of the ball that they've had in the past, not so much this year, they've been able to accentuate a certain part of that game plan that they have on a week-to-week basis to provide strength against other teams, which is why a lot of times you could not go into a game against New England watching game film, because things just change. I think their lack of talent has an implication on that sort of structure. Now, having said what you said, if they put they're back to where they were in the early 2000s, man. Like, running the ball, winning it up front, it's not style points, it's not glamorous. But it's all about wins and losses at the end of the day. If they get to 10 wins, I would be really stunned and impressed. And Bill Belichick should waltz away with Coach of the Year, in my opinion.
You took the words right out of my mouth. If that Griffin gets 10 wins, he is a mile ahead for Coach of the Year. Because
no question.
This team is in the bottom third as far as talent and skill position. And at the quarterback position, it's just not there. But
no.
Like we were talking with Jarvis, there is a little bit of a ceiling left for Cam Newton because he's getting better at making adjustments at the line. He's getting better with protecting the ball. And, you know, he's kind of seeing double hitch when he knows he shouldn't be, you know, trying to gun that thing down 30 yards when, let's be honest, he's throwing to outside of Jacoby Myers.
Right.
There's
and
no
John.
There. I mean,
no, I agree with you. I agree. But the thing that amazes me, he'll throw 5 feet over a guy's head, he'll hit him on the numbers, 15 yards downfield, and he'll throw one into the dirt 3 or 4 feet in front of a receiver. I've never seen that. It's amazing to me. And is it mental? Is it the arm side? Is it mechanics? Because he seems to be healthy. And if he's healthy, and if this is mental, then this is a major deal, not only for the Patriots going forward, because I don't know what their plans are for next year, but by all accounts and purposes, there is a love affair going on with the coordinators and Bill Belichick and Cam Newton. They wax poetic at any moment they can. And he's a great interview. He seems like a really cool guy, super guy. Say what you want about the outfits. I like them. But moving forward, I mean, he's auditioning now not only for a year, you know, the rest of the year. I think he's passed. He'll be starting the rest of the year. But obviously, no, that's a no-brainer. But he's auditioning more for his future with the Patriots or with another team for the coming years to follow. And if he does not show that he can pass the ball with any sort of efficiency and consistency, he's not working after this year. I'm telling you that, right? That's my opinion.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he wants to get from that, you know, $7.5 million, you know, deal with incentives to making $20-25 million again per year. You know, but I think Chris Collinsworth hit on it, you know, 100% on Sunday night's game.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him. When those balls are sailing or going right in the ground, it's because he's so flat footed and he's not going forward. His legs are side by side.
Right.
He can't get anything as a quarterback going accurately wise down the field for that. And let's be honest, he's a 10-year vet. He's not changing his mechanics now.
No.
So I think this whole love fest with, you know, McDaniels, Belichick, and Newton is because they all need each other. If they're going to move anything with the needle going forward this year, they're going to have to do something. And I think that's why McDaniels has done a great job. As much as I criticize that this is a high school offense, and it
right.
is, I commend him for doing it because it's all he's got to work with. If he wanted to go out and sling it 40 times like he did out in Seattle in week two, this team would be 2 wins right now.
Right. No question. And Buddy and I have talked about this in past shows. I mean, Newton sometimes will drop back and he'll wind up and seem to throw from the back of his knees, like bent over like he's throwing a Hail Mary, just to get it 20 yards downfield. And
yeah.
To me, it almost seems like he's laboring during that. But but having said that, I think he's going to have to improve and show more consistency as a passer, because there's going to go be some team that's going to fit that they're going to face, and they're just going to gear up and try and stop the run and stop whatever's over the middle. And if that's not the case, then, you know, maybe you got to see the old Cam Newton carry the ball 10, 12 times a game minimum. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be honest. As a Pats fan, you know, he is your best option this year. He's basically your only option because you fit him so far in the doghouse that, you know, you can't even smell the bones.
We're not kidding.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you got. But as far as for next year, I don't want to see him as the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. Because
no, of course not.
I already know how that movie ends.
That's true.
If you're going
right,
to move
right.
forward, you have to go and move forward. So that
right.
means if Stidham's not your guy, and apparently it seems it's not, so they have screwed this up for another year, they have to find out who that next guy is.
No question about it. And we're talking football here. John Crow and Johnny Sunchips here on the 2G Sports Podcast. If you would like to join us and talk football, you reach us at 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. There's a line always open for you. I want to address you the same question you addressed Jarvis. Who do you believe in more, Miami or the Bills? Because we know the balance of power has now changed in the AFC East.
This is where it gets tricky.
Because I always thought the Buffalo Bills have it. They are ready for the moment. They have the quarterback who has taken that next step in Josh Allen that is not throwing the ball all over the lot, not fumbling the ball two or three times a game. Their defense is getting a little bit better week by week. They're starting to run the ball a little bit better. And as I said, they're not scared of the big moment. The problem is the Dolphins got momentum.
Yeah.
They believe. And they have the Broncos, the Jets. So they're going to be 9-3 by the time they get to week 14. And they're going to be feeling really good before they host your Chiefs. They play the Patriots up here.
Mm-hmm.
They play the Raiders. And then they go to Orchard Park week 17 against the Bills. It's going to come all the way down to that, I think.
That would be a heck of a way to go. Now, a 6-3 team, obviously on paper, you're looking at, and you just said they'll go 9-3. But
yep.
As well coached as they are, and now we know this team is well coached, and Brian Flores is going to be a household name a lot sooner than we thought. Now, is there any chance a young team could slip up? You get a first-year quarterback who's only been two or three games in Tua Tagovailoa. He could make a costly mistake, turnover, pick six, may change the direction of that team. I'm not sure it'll change the inflection because they seem to be playing with a lot of swagger. And you know what? They're just having fun out there. They're a fun team to watch. But a slip-up against one of these teams would not surprise me in the least. Maybe take a step back.
Oh, no question. Shane Falco in The Replacement. Quicksand.
Yes, good. Yeah.
Once you see one negative thing happen, what happens when the next one happens and the next one happens? Can you get out of it? And you're right. It can happen with a young team. It can happen with, you know, a veteran team like the Patriots. One year they went into Cleveland and, you know, got waxed like 31-3, by Eric Mangini's team. But it can happen. And I just think Flores is so on top of things down there that he's got them planned. The one thing I would be worried about, Tua's got a foot injury this week. Watch that a little bit. And the more and more teams get tape on him, it's going to be tougher. So what's
right.
going to be that next adjustment?
Right, right.
So, yeah, I think I do think there is, like you said, room for them to flip up. But this is what makes the difference between teams that belong there and teams that are just, you know what, we're just playing through the regular season for that record.
Right.
Can they avoid the trap game? The Steelers have won this week against the Jaguars. Are they
no question.
Ahead to Baltimore?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that'll be interesting, too, because, and again, it's week to week. They're trap games in this day and age with COVID and people on the COVID-19, in IR list, whatever they call it. It's escaping me for now. It's just you never know from really literally the day before the game what's going to happen. But, you talk about the Patriots. And
hey,
go ahead.
Let me ask you, Chiefs, about the your team, the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders have their entire starting defense on the COVID-19 list right now.
Right, exactly.
How good are you feeling?
Really good, especially when you read Andy Reid's comments of how they when they went into Kansas City being the Raiders to beat the Chiefs, they kind of did laps around the parking lot in celebration, and that didn't bode too well. And Andy Reid didn't come out and say it, but he kind of said, we don't do that sort of thing here. You know, so they were motivated anyway. I'm feeling good about that too. But, you know, I don't hate the Raiders because I kind of like Gruden because he's one of those quarterbacks, one of those coaches who we thought was removed too much from the game to have an effect now. But they seem to be playing well under him. So I kind of would like to see it teams at full strength because, you know, you win a game, you want to have each team at their best. But the thing that impresses me about Kansas City is, you know, they don't have to air it out. They're finding ways to win some of these games, you know, ways to do it. The game against Carolina, I watched that whole game, and there was a point in that game I said, they're just not winning this game because Carolina was really well game-planned against them to the point where they kept Mahomes and company off the field. They were able to win a game, squeak it out, and move on. And, you know, they'll be there in the end in some way, shape, or form. But this Buffalo team scares me. They're a Hail Mary or a Hail Murray away from being 8-2 and right in the thick of home field advantage, you know?
Oh, no question. And you know how we were talking about the Browns? Miles Garrett's out Sunday. He's completely on the COVID list.
Yep.
So
that's huge.
It goes to the Browns. Yeah, that's big. I mean, that's a must win for each of those two teams because, you know, the Eagles got to get to 5 wins to win the NFC East, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the NFC least, for God's sakes. Oh, my God.
Right?
Jeez,
can you imagine how the Giants are in it? Crazy.
Exactly. And, you know, outside of – they may be playing better than any other team in the division the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're
anyway.
Absolutely right. And, you know, they got the running game going a little bit. And, you know, all it takes in this league is, you know, put a couple wins together, you start feeling good about yourself, and then all of a sudden you're right back in the mix.
No question about it. But I love it, man. It's week to week, and I kind of like all this stuff. And whether they add another playoff team or not, it's going to be good. Patriots, they just have a lot of teams to climb and need a lot of help. But there is a path, as we've heard all week long on talk radio. He's John Crow. I'm Johnny Suntips, Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. 20s are the wild number. November 20th, the 2020 edition of the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. Ta-da! Go out and play your number game today. So listen. We talked before. We've gone football. We talked with Jarvis. Again, we thank Jarvis King for coming on. Let's talk a little Celtics here now. The draft's coming back. And here was my first impression. And you tell me what I'm thinking. Danny Ainge, you know, Bill Belichick has been criticized for his general managing duties and drafting. But we know Bill Belichick's affinity to kind of stockpile draft picks. Danny Ainge is good at that, too. And wouldn't he be the perfect GM for the Patriots, knowing that he has 7 rounds to do so instead of a couple for stockpiling draft picks? Because this team, John, and I said it at the end of the year, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and, you know, Kyrie Irving the year before was a, quote-unquote, dissension in the locker room, and there was more this year, and we saw that in the playoffs, Marcus Smart and Brown and Tatum. This team, in my opinion, needed to tweak it a little bit. Now, Gordon Hayward has opted out. Whether that's going to do a signing trade, we don't know. But they need to come back with different pieces, or I don't really feel good about this team, just on the court. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Danny loves to have his assets, right? And, you know, Jarvis talked about that big table that he has. Well, Danny needs a big table because he's got too many people. He's got too many mouths to feed. You know, they started, you know, whittling away a little bit last night, trading Vincent Poirier. You know, traded him out. They, you know, they decided
not to. Put second round pick.
they declined the option on Brad Wanamaker. He might be back, you know, depending on how things go. But ironically, I actually liked the 2 picks the Celtics made because they were pointed. They needed shooting. They got the best shooter in the draft in Naismith. They needed a backup point guard who could actually lead the team, play both sides, and Pritchard, who's played, you know, 4-year starter in Oregon. Pac-12 player of the year. They're young.
Right.
On this team, when Tatum is 1, Brown is 2, Smart is somewhere in there, wants to have the ball too much, wants to be that veteran too much. He can't be the guy.
No.
So if he's rubbing up against Tatum and Brown, you got to sit those 3 guys in a room and just figure it out because you're not a better team if you get rid of Smart. You're not doing anything with Tatum and Brown. But you got to do what Toronto did, what Miami did.
Right.
Get those pointed vets. Get the Ibakas. Get, you know, Andre Iguodala. Get those types of guys back in there to lead. You look at any championship team in the NBA, and that's what it's about. You got a couple superstars, and then you get a couple of vets.
And then you get a couple of really good guys
that can come in and really play that regular season.
Agree.
Honestly, Kemba Walker with his knee is always going to be day-to-day for the remainder of his time in Boston. That's just what it's going to be.
Right.
So, great. Pritchard's going to play a lot of nights. Wonderful. But when it comes down to the playoffs, Kemba's going to have to play. And if he can't, well, then you got to move on.
Right.
So, Danny make that move? And that's the problem is Danny has not been able to make that move the last couple of years. And if he could make the Hayward sign and trade for Miles Turner and Doug McDermott, I'm all aboard because those are 2 chips you need, a big and a shooter.
Yeah, and you need to get something back in return. And granted, I know I like the draft picks too, but you know what? You're continuing to build for the future, which is all well and good, but all the teams around you are building for the now. So your window could shut your window could shut with an injury. Your window could shut quickly. So you need to compete now as well as build for the future. They need a veteran presence on that team, be it a big guy, because there's something missing from that team. And here's my question to you. Brad Stevens, I think his kiss of death, in my opinion, was when they brought over Isaiah Thomas, and I didn't think that team and the organization thought that they would be successful that quickly behind him. They were a playoff team, and we didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously, they moved on from him. It was Kyrie. They moved on from him. But we don't know if Brad Stevens can coach a star athlete, a big name to bring in other than the young player, because let's face it, John Crow, this is a players' league. And Brad Stevens has not shown me, because he hasn't really had the opportunity. Talk what you want about Gordon Hayward being a veteran, being an all-star guy, a representative. But they did have a relationship in the past through college, so there was that bond there. So he needs to show me, and I hope they do it this year, to bring in a key veteran, and that he can coach and gel with younger players, because that's what I think we need to see from Mr. Stevens as the head coach.
I think we already have our answer on Stevens, whether he can, you know, play, you know, whether he can coach a big time star. I guess no. He had no reins over Kyrie Irving whatsoever.
No.
None. And that's with having Al Horford by his side. He's great with young guys. He's a great college coach. He's a great X's and O's coach, even though he got out coached a little bit in the playoffs this past NBA season. But the problem is, who are they going to get to help him?
Right.
Obviously, Horford couldn't do it. He's on his third team in 3 years now.
Yeah.
And that's my fear. I mean, you talk about the window closing. Jason Tatum's contract is done at the end of this season. What does he think about what's going on there? Does he
want
to take his talents to South Beach or someplace else? Because if you lose that guy, guess what? You are in rebuild mode.
No question. I agree with you totally. So it's all change in a year, Green Teamers, if you will.
So that's why you're right. It is about now, and you have some of the pieces. But let's be honest, Carson Edwards, nice player, but wouldn't you like to have a 3-4 year James House type of guy in that spot? You know.
Yep.
We all love James House, great effort guy, but you know what? He could not stop them out of Adebayo if he stole him with a car.
No.
He went right by him every single time. He's nice as a complimentary piece, but you need that big rim protector that's going to do something in there. And that's why, you know, the Green Teamers love their team, because, you know what, they're all good guys outside of Kyrie when he, you know, finally got him out of here. But they're all good guys.
Yeah.
But even Gordon Hayward, as much as he has the personal ties with Brad Stevens, is saying, you know what? Not so big about here.
Yeah. And players look at that, too. They talk amongst themselves, man. And when, you know, you players leaving Boston and being disenchanted, you know, and the destination is not Boston. They want to go out Los Angeles, where the, you know, Hollywood, the Emerald City, if you will. That's not the Emerald City. You know, Los Angeles, Miami, it's warm in South Beach. Everyone loves to play there. Boston isn't really a destination, regardless of how successful they are. Now, and here's the thing with you, and you talk about, and we're talking about Stevens and the you know, being able to hold big guys here or big names. What does it tell you about him as a coach? Because we knew under Doc Rivers, I mean, you got to manage personalities as a coach. He did that really well here in his time with the Celtics, with Rondo, Garnett, Pierce, and all the pieces. Right? That was maybe his most important attribute to that team, to manage the personalities and get them on board for the cause of winning a championship. 2 years in a row now, back to Kyrie and Marcus Smart. Stuff has happened in the locker room, and that's partly on Brad Stevens. He's got to get that team together, and he hasn't done it in 2 years. That's a big knock on him, and you want to talk about another red flag. That's a little concerning to me if I'm a Celtic player or organization member, and a fan for that matter.
I agree, and it is a slippery slope. I mean, even Doc, I mean, as much as we love him, and he was great here while doing it, you know, he went out to the Clippers, and, you know, 1 year with, you know, Kawhi Leonard, and we hear all the rumblings, you know, behind the scenes that, all the rest of the team was mad at Doc because he let, you know, Kawhi Leonard do what he wanted to do. So it's a slippery slope. I mean, you know, those guys are so special, the Rivers, Terry Francona was very good at it and continues to be at it. Can they do a little bit of both? But as I said, it's more managing personality in 2020 more than anything.
Yeah, that's tough
and
to
I
do.
I just don't think that in the NBA, Stevens is just not that championship type caliber guy who can stand up to those guys. I mean, Eric Spoelstra, as a young coach, stood up to LeBron when LeBron said, "You're not my coach." And he's like, "Still here, buddy." Still
no
here.
Kidding. And you know what, John? And I wasn't high on him because I thought he had been a byproduct of some of his players. What he did this year with that team, I earned a lot of respect for Eric Spoelstra with what he did with that team. Because, man, that Miami team is a serious contender now, and he's a big part of that. And I'm really happy for him because he was kind of like, who's this guy, Eric Spoelstra? No, it's LeBron, it's Bosh, it's, you know, it's whoever. And he, to me, didn't get the respect, not even from me. He showed me a lot this year as coach of the Heat.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, great draft, too. Tyler Hero, he was there for the Celtics to take.
Yep.
Didn't get him.
Yeah, we can go that route.
What we do all the time, you know, with the Patriots. You know, DK Metcalf was there. Patrick Queen was there.
Yep.
Didn't get him. But you know what? We got Kyle Duggar.
He wasn't doing so bad.
So
I wasn't bad on the pitch. Go ahead.
He's played better the past couple of weeks. So I won't knock him too much.
No, but some of the knock on him was where he was from. Where's Lenoir Ryan? Who cares? I mean, you know what I say to that? Walter freaking Payton was from Jackson State. So you know what? Football has that broad spectrum of talent and a huge resource pool. So granted he played at Lenoir Ryan, that doesn't mean he's not going to be a good football player. And I'd like to pick. You can argue that he may have been drafted a little high, but he's going to prove some doubters wrong. And he's going to be a stalwart for that team in the coming years. But, you know, again, it's football. You don't know what's going to happen. But let's see. We have 8 minutes left in the show. What do we do?
Let me just feed off that. And the other part of that is you can make the reach and reach for Kyle Duggar, but then you got to play him.
Right.
You got to reach for Asiasi and Keane and those types of guys in Uche and, you know, get Winovich. But you got to play him. And Belichick has always been one that says, you got to bide your time.
Look at Damian Harris. Give him a couple of years in order to just sniff the lineup. He always is hesitant because he's always had that veteran team. So you got to make the reach. Play the guy.
That's a good point. And speaking of reach, obviously, and I'm a believer that with the offseason stuff of the backup quarterback, do you think that all that kind of him being in the doghouse with Belichick is not it's kind of like
no question.
Yeah, I mean, and so my point is, you got to let him out of the doghouse at some point to see what he's like. I mean, is it that far gone? Because I can't believe that he'd fallen off. At least I can't believe he'd fallen out of the graces that quickly based on his on-field performance. It's got to be more than that. And on the heels of what you said, you got to play him and see what you have because Newton ain't going to be here next year. So why not find out, right?
Yeah, I just in their mind, he's gone. Just like we'll never see Brian Hoyer again. After that performance in Kansas City, we'll never see him on an active roster here in New England again. And unfortunately, cause I think Stidham can play. That's the thing. But you got to let him play more than a half, don't you?
You have to at some point. And I'm not so sure Brian Hoyer doesn't give him the best option right now. I mean, I know those bonehead calls, but from a quarterback position, we haven't seen Stidham. I think Brian Hoyer is a better passer right now than Cam Newton. That's just my opinion.
I tend to agree if you were just going to drop it off and say, go hit these five guys, which could you be more accurate with? It probably would be Brian Hoyer. But, you know, it's aggravating as a fan to watch. You know, I watched Kent State the other night. And to watch them have a quarterback that just goes back out there and just runs a fluid offense. And then you watch the Patriots offense, which just at times can look painful when they drop back to pass. It's like you're on pins and needles. You're like, oh, don't drop it. Oh, look, he completed that 3-yard pass. Yay!
Right.
And it's just so not what we're accustomed to.
No.
And as an aside, Tom Brady last week against the Panthers, great stats, and they put up 46 points. Man, did he miss them open guys.
He's lost a couple Ooh. Of miles on his fastball, so to speak. No question. I mean, I don't fault him for moving on. I don't fault him, John Curl, for moving on from him. I mean, it was obviously you can talk about it. I think it was destined to be. It's just they just you can say Tom, but here's my opinion. I don't think Belichick wanted Brady anymore. I certainly don't believe Brady wanted to be here anymore. So they weren't going to coexist. Say what you want about signing him this year. It was not going to work. But Brady has lost some of his skills, and they've eroded. And I don't think he'd be doing – he's in a good fit where he is because he's got a lot of weapons behind him, which is what he needed for this point in his career. I don't think he'd be doing much better in this offense, in New England, I mean.
Yeah, I think we'd see pretty much the same offense where they're trying to run the ball a little bit more. Would they pass a little bit better? Here's where you'd be back to last year. Would he be throwing to Jacoby Myers 12 times a game? Probably not.
No.
I bet you Julian Edelman would still be on the field if Tom were here because he would have just said, no, I'm not going on injured reserve and I'm just going to play.
On crutches, if you
have. Because it's Cam out there, he's like, I need to get healthy because, you know, I got to try to get that one more contract for next year. But the problem, I mean, N'Keal Harry had a chance to step up last week and he didn't even get a target, did he?
And you talk about a player who's going to be moving on. I don't know what his status is, but he ain't going to be on. He's not going to be wearing the silver and blue next year. No question about that. That's too bad, too.
It's like, it's amazing how a franchise that is so good cannot draft a wide receiver to save their life.
Yep. And you made a good point speaking earlier. I mean, obviously, Patriots fans, you're not used to this. You know, if you look at back a couple of years ago, I can see a slow decline, although maybe not in the record, but in the dissension between TB12 and the coach. But it seems to have happened overnight in a lot of Patriots fans' eyes, and that's tough for them to say because now you literally like you're hoping that back in the days when they weren't relevant, you win 10 games, it was a great year. That's what we're back to now, and this generation of Patriot fans who has not had to experience that now has to, and it's not easy to swallow.
But you know what it is? It's that 20-year marriage that, you know, where both sides aren't invested day-to-day, they're not connected day-to-day, and then all of a sudden, one day after 20 years, they find out, oh, you've both been cheating on each other, and you just want to go your separate ways.
Yeah.
It's been happening over time because of what's happening in the draft, and they've always gone on the way of, okay, we'll just sign a veteran for a lot more money than it takes to use the draft picks effectively and have that cash flow. And so those 4 or 5 years have, you know, resulted in what you have on now where you are forced to play people who should not be playing, honestly.
Gotcha. Right. Okay, JC, 2 minutes left in the show. For people who don't know John Crow, I know all about him. Good friend of mine, former colleague, does some stuff. You do stuff on the side. Tell people where they can see your work. I know. Give them a view from the crow's nest in about a minute and 30 seconds, if you will.
Well, you can get my weekly rankings, NFL Power Rankings, every Sunday morning on GoLocalProv.com. You can find our wrestling this week in the WWE on PlaceToBeNation.com. We've got a great preview coming your way for Survivor Series this week because it's a best of the best. This Sunday, down at the WWE Thunderdome, which is fabulous, and I've been a part of from the WWE. But also got the Crow's Nest going. It's been going for about 15, 16 years now.
Yeah,
we do a lot of different things there. The Power Rankings this week on GoLocalProv.com Sunday morning. Your Chiefs are prominently featured. I finished them this morning.
They should be. Love it. Keep them up there, baby. All right, 1 minute left in the show. JC, man, listen, you know you're always welcome on this podcast. Always, always, always. It's great catching up with you. I feel like we've just, you know, back to the future, so to speak, kind of picked up where we left off. So really great to have you on the show, JC. I really appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you real soon, buddy, okay?
Thanks for the invite, and you'll get a kick out of this. I always talk to the mad emailer.
Ah, nice. I like that. See, the score lives on. Long live the score. Anyway, 20 seconds episode, John Crow. Thank you very much. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll be back on Sunday with the E2G Sunday Sports Podcast, Buddy Andrade and I. You'll hear from John Crow at some point during the future, I'm sure. I want to thank each and every one of you out there for listening. Again, this is the E2G Sports Podcast. Take care, everyone. Be well. Be safe. Have a great football weekend. God bless.